Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we should rejoice that we have such a loving and gracious Savior, a shepherd who leads us and guides us. May your word remind us of the tremendous gifts we have been given because our good shepherd poured out his life. And because of that, we have life in and of itself. May we be blessed through the sharing of your word this day. Amen. If you haven't guessed, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. You may have noticed that by the songs, by how the worship service has flowed. And we have a good shepherd because we have a God who loved the world. And it is because of that love. And rather than just focusing on the good shepherd this morning, I want us to think about God's love being poured out into your lives. And you saw my theme. What do we know about love? And you may be wondering, well, where's the question there? There's deliberately not a question there. Because the truth is that oftentimes, what do we know about love? Because our lives do not reflect it. Our lives do not live it like it should be. It's not a question. It's a statement. We really don't know a great deal about love. At least it seems as though that's how we live our lives. The world talks a great deal about love, and we hear all these phrases about love. And yet, so often, we fail to love one another. We fail to love our brothers. We fail to love our sisters. And yes, we fail to love our enemies. The truth is, the reality is the same in the church. We talk about it. We use that term a lot in our worship services, and yet, how do we show love to one another? In fact, what we see in the world, and so sadly what we oftentimes see in the church, defies what we proclaim about love. Evaluate your own life. Where are you in loving your spouse, your children, your neighbors, your coworkers, your community, and oh yes, your leaders. If we are honest and evaluate, we must confess that we have not always loved with our whole heart. Too often we have held back our love. It's great to have Good Shepherd Sunday in the midst of the Easter celebration because it is here that we are reminded of what God has done for us, that He has laid down His life. And in doing so, He shows us the power of God's love for all of His creation. Think about it. Christ came into our world willingly because He loved this creation. And we need to let that sink in. God loves you. The authority is His. He could either lay it down or He could pick it up. It's something been granted to Him by His Father in heaven. That's the beauty of God's love. It's there for us. It surrounds our lives. A couple of things we do know. that love of self, love of oneself, apart from God, leads us in the wrong direction and sometimes even to hate. The world in which we find ourselves today is so self-centered. We're all in it for what's in it for me. Listen to your own words, what you say. Think about what you listen to. Do you listen to the kind of things that make the things that you want to be the things you really want to hear? And where is our Father's love for us in our speech and in our actions? Too often, the center is on what I want, what I think. The epistle reading this morning begins with these words, "Little children, let us not love in words or talk, but in deeds and in truth." And where does love of self lead us? It leads us to fear our enemies and to actions for self-preservation. And yet, it is that we live in the power of Christ's love for us, the fact that He laid down His life for the sheep. The message of Easter is such a clear one. It is a message of a different kind of love. A love has the other as the object of its affection. It's not self-centered. John contrasts self-centered love with what we learn from God. "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us." Think about that. This is how we know love, by a Lord who was willing to come, take our place, and die for us. The world in which we live and find ourselves oftentimes tells us that we have to earn that love, earn respect. And too often when people tell us they love us, it's oftentimes followed by something that we did for them. "I love you because you have always been there for me. I love you because you're such a good friend." These statements aren't wrong, but their motive sometimes is about earning that love from one another. If you read the epistle really closely this morning, you'll see that John is not talking about a love we earn. Do you or I deserve what God has done for us? Did you deserve to have God send His only Son into the world to become one with us and lay down His life for us? We all know the answer. It's a simple one. God's love for us is far greater than any kind of love you or I can express. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. For those who are dead in their sin, Christ came. And yet, while we were enemies of God, Jesus Christ reconciled us to God by His death. So we hear those words, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And yet we experience this love every time we gather around word and sacrament. When we come together for worship, as we hear the word and as we meditate upon the word, as we come to the Lord's table or we witness a baptism, there is God's love at work in our lives. It is in those waters of baptism that God welcomed you into His family. In the words of absolution, we know that it is His love that covers, yes, the multitude of sins that plague our lives each and every day. Think about all the ways that God's love comes into your life. God is a God of love. And as God's people, that love ought to swell up within us. Swell up within us so that we reach out to those around us with that same love. Think about the words of the psalm, which we've sort of used over and over again in the service. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Think about what that means. The psalmist said this long before Christ ever came into the world to suffer and die. He realized the power of God's love in his own life. Our cup is overflowing in love. Our cup cannot contain the love of Christ. Verse 23 states, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. As Lutherans, we've been taught, and we understand that being obedient to his commandment begins with the Father's love for us. What do we know about love? Reflect on that in your own life. It's not a question oftentimes. It's about how we carry out that love in our lives. How we treat one another, how we talk about one another, how we look at the world in which we live. Do we look at it with all the gloom and doom that surrounds our lives? Or do we look at it because we have a Savior who laid down his life for us? There's the real power. All of this is temporary. And so oftentimes we get so wrapped up in the mundane of life. And we forget about the real power of love that we have been given by a God who loves us. It's about living it, sharing it, rejoicing in his love, and then rejoicing as we share that love with one another. You're sitting with your spouse, turn to your spouse and tell them that you love them. If you're sitting with your children, look at your children and tell them that you love them. Here we sit with fellow believers, turn to that person next to you and tell them that you love them. You see, you and I live in this unconditional love. That no matter how bad our lives are, no matter how broken our lives are, we have a God who loves us. And because of that love, because he first loved us, we ought to be about the business of sharing that love with one another. It ought to be the center of our interactions with one another. And as we live out our lives in this world and as we deal with all the problems of this world, we do so knowing that he laid down his life for us. And so we should be willing to love our brothers, even to the point of laying down our lives for one another. Yes, what do we know about love? As a Christian, we know a great deal about love. We need to take it from the head to the heart and translate it in our lives to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.